Well, I want to give you a very warm welcome to our Sunday morning broadcast, particularly if you're tuning in for the first time. We're delighted that you're joining with us, particularly if you're not yet a follower of Jesus. It would be our hope and prayer that even today that you would find your hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Already today, a number of our church leaders have gathered in this building to pray together as the government now allows us. And we're praying that God would protect us and that God would show us his hand of blessing for the future. It's also great to have Dr. Alan Wilson with us today, who's going to open up God's word for us later as we look at this amazing theme of finding our hope in God.
Over the last 18 months, our growth group have become very close. I believe that God has been teaching us to love and care for each other the way he would want us to. And I believe it's been in preparation for this time we face now of lockdown. I really appreciate my growth group, and I thank God for all of you.
Yeah, hi all. I've been thinking about how growth group has helped me this past year, since before lockdown started. It has really helped me a lot to carry on in my friendship with them and also with God. Part of it is the fact that we're on a WhatsApp group and we share each other's prayer requests on that. We chat, we also just encourage each other, and it really has helped a lot. And since lockdown started, it's helped me to it's also helped me to realize even more how much I need God in my life, just through their input. And the fact that we've been having a conference call every on Wednesday nights, just updating each other about what we've been doing and asking each other for prayer requests, just has really helped me grow a lot more, and I really appreciate their help with that.
I really miss meeting together in our home group. I really loved being together with a wide range of experience and age profiles. It's good to study God's Word together and to listen to the various views, some very interesting at times. And of course I miss Mark's tea and Nikki's treats. But on the more serious side, it's good to meet, and it's good to be able to study God's Word together and to pray for our group and for the wider church family. And although we can't meet at the moment, I'm glad of technology that allows us to meet via Zoom, when we can still have that interaction, though not quite the same.
Hello everyone, our growth group has always been such a blessing, but even more so during this time of lockdown. We are led by Di and Lindsay Holly, and every Sunday morning after the service we have a Zoom meeting where we all talk about our week, how things have been. We have some time of prayer, and then Di takes our prayer points for the week ahead, and then he sends them out to us. During the week we also keep in touch, and in fact this past week some of the ladies thought we would meet for a nice walk. Unfortunately it was far too busy, so we ended up just having ice cream instead, which was very nice. So it's just lovely to be part of such a good group. So we just thank God for that group, and we thank God for Lindsay and Dowie for leading us and for their support and their guidance and their encouragement. So thank you.
Good morning, boys and girls. I hope that you're all keeping really well. Now, I know that something exciting has happened to you all this week, and I think it's something you've all been looking forward to and that you've been really excited for. Well, guess what? Something really exciting happened to me this week, and I wonder if it's similar to what you might have been excited about, and if I'm as happy about it as you are. So I'm going to show you a few items, and I want you to see if you can figure out why I might be excited to not have to use these things for at least the next 6 weeks. So item number one is a pencil case filled with highlighters, pencils, pens, rubbers, whiteboard markers. They're all things that I don't really need to use for the next 6 weeks. Another thing I don't need to use is a textbook full of English questions. I wonder why I might not have to use that. Another thing I don't have to do is look at books that look like this, full of maths problems. I don't have to wear this every day. I don't have to use this gold stumper. And I don't need to use this coffee mug. So, if you haven't already guessed it, boys and girls, I am so excited because I am a teacher, and that means, just like you, I do not have any school or any schoolwork to do for the next wee while. And this year has been a really different school year for everybody, as we've had to do a lot of your learning online. But I'm sure you are relieved, and I'm sure you are excited to have a break from all your home learning, and you're ready to enjoy your summer holidays and relax. I know that I am excited to do those things too. Now this morning, we are looking at Psalm 33. And this psalm is all about how we praise God.
Now, many of the Psalms in the Bible are written like songs, and they are often used as a way to praise God. Now, there are many different ways and reasons for why we praise God. Can you think of anything that's happened to you recently that you would like to praise and thank God for? Because when we're praising God, we're thanking Him for something that has happened. So can you think of anything that you could praise God for? Well, we often praise God when good things happen to us. So as I said, I am a teacher and you are pupils. So teachers and pupils might be praising God right now for getting through a school year during a pandemic. We might also praise God if a new baby has been born into our family. And this is something I've been praising God for this week with the arrival of my new little niece. Or we might also praise God when we see somebody that we know put their faith in Jesus. One of the ways that we also praise God is through song. And you'll notice that this is something that we do every week in church. You will see people singing. You will also see people at the front with things like instruments, guitars, playing and praising God as they play their instruments. And as we do this, we are praising God for His goodness and His faithfulness to us. So this week, I want to just leave you with a challenge, boys and girls, for thinking about praising God for His goodness to us. And as I said, this is what the psalm that we're looking at in church this morning is all about. So this week I want to challenge you every day to find things that you can praise God for. They could be small things. You could be praising God for the flowers in your garden, for the lovely weather, for your mum, for your dad, for your friends. I want you to then think of things every day. Try and be thankful for this week and find things that you can praise God for. You can praise God, as we've said, by singing. You could make some music to praise God. But if you don't feel comfortable doing that, one other way that we can simply praise God is through talking to Him through prayer and having a conversation with God and letting Him know that we are thankful for the things that He has given us. So thank you for listening, boys and girls. Remember to be thankful this week and to look for things that you can praise God for. Thanks for listening and enjoy your summer holidays.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, He who died. Heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let this little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me.
grace of God has reached for me and pulled me from the raging sea, and I am safe on this solid ground. The Lord is my salvation.
This morning's reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 33. Sing joyfully to the Lord, ye righteous. It is fitting for the upright to praise him. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make music to him on the 10-stringed lyre. Sing to him a new song, play skillfully, and shout for joy. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. The Lord loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of his unfailing love. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, the starry host by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea into jars. He puts the deep into storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart through all generations.
Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he chose for his inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From his dwelling place, he watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all, who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait and hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you.
Let's now come to God in prayer. Father, thank you that you are a God who deserves our worship and our praise. And even God, if we do not praise you, even the rocks will cry out. And we recognize that your creation declares the glory of God. You are glorious, O God, and help us to worship you for that. And Father, we confess this morning that we don't always worship you as we ought, and often find ourselves running after other gods, other things to find our identity, our comfort, and our pleasure in. Father, would you forgive us when we seek to worship other gods of money, success, power, and comfort? Father, would you help us to see that our rest will only come in you alone? And Father, thank you for your forgiveness. Father, thank you that as far as the east is from the west, that's how far you have removed our transgressions from us. And Father, we thank you for your goodness to us in these past months. Father, we thank you that you have been speaking to us through your word, that it has been powerful, it has been relevant, it has been true. Father, thank you that you have led and guided us, that you have helped us, and in some cases you have restored us. Father, thank you for how you have helped those who have been homeschooling children. And Father, thank you how you have helped the teachers, the NHS and frontline workers. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us as a church. And Father, we even thank you that this morning a group of officers and others were able to gather at Hamilton Road Baptist to pray to you, to hear from your word. And Father, thank you that we will be looking forward to gathering together in coming weeks as a slightly larger group. And Father, thank you that you have brought us to this point. And Father, would you help us to keep in step with your spirit as things progress? And Father, we come to you and we ask for wisdom for our church leadership and members as we make decisions in the days ahead. And Father, would you lead and guide us, we pray. And Father, we also pray for our political leaders in our land at this time, in a week of political turmoil, Father, where many people have been hurt. Father, we pray your comfort on those families who are grieving and who have been hurt. Father, we do pray that our political leaders would reach out and find you, that they would turn to you in repentance and faith. Father, we pray that the decisions they make would honour you and would be for the good of the people in this land. So, Father, as we look forward to hearing your word now, Father, would you speak to each of us in a particular way, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. A few months ago, as the story of the coronavirus was starting to gather pace, my daily reading took me to Psalm 33. It seemed that there were a few themes in the psalm that were particularly relevant to what was just beginning to unfold around the world at that time. And I want to revisit the psalm with you this morning. The first three verses of the psalm are basically a call to worship. It's a call to God's people to sing joyfully, to praise him, verse 1. Specifically to praise him on the harp, make music on the lyre, verse 2. To sing a new song, verse 3. To play skillfully, to shout for joy. Eugene Peterson's Message version of these verses tells us to play his praise on a grand piano. It's not that all the psalms are about loud and enthusiastic music. There's a whole tapestry of human experience and emotion in the book. And we don't have time to get too far off course this morning, but it's just worth filing away an idea for future reference, this idea of exuberant praise, even though it looks as though it'll be a while before health restrictions allow churches to sing too exuberantly. But it's when we come to verse 4 that the psalmist, who's not named, begins to talk about the God he's calling us to praise. I want you to notice three big points that he makes about God. First of all, from verse 4 to verse 9, he tells us that God's word, the word of the Lord, is true and powerful. His word is true. The word of the Lord echoes his character. And that's how it is with us, isn't it? As Jesus puts it, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Our words are an expression of who we are. And according to verse 5, God loves righteousness and justice, and the evidence of his faithful love is stamped on a world where the sun rises and sets every day, where winter gives way to spring, where the earth produces crops and harvest. And as God is righteous and faithful, so is his word. It too is reliable. God is faithful in all that he does. He keeps his promises. But not only is his word true and reliable, reflecting his righteous character, that same word is powerful. And the psalmist develops this idea by talking about God as the sovereign creator. And if you go to verse 6, where he speaks about by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, he points us back to the opening verses of our Bible when God spoke. And what God spoke came into being. So, for example, in Genesis 1, when he said, "Let there be light," there was light. And it also points us forward to the start of John's Gospel, where John tells us that through the Word who was with God in the beginning, nothing has come into being that has come into being. It is by the Word of the Lord that the heavens have been made, and it's by the breath of his mouth that the host of stars has been put in place. You know, it's reckoned that there are 100,000 million stars in the Milky Way. That's our galaxy. God put them there, and compared to him, they're no more than the breath of his mouth. Now, you might expect verse 7 to move from describing the formation of the heavens to describing the earth. But actually, the psalm goes on to talk about the waters of the sea. There's a difference between some of the translations here. The ESV talks about God gathering the waters of the sea into a heap. You can think about the way he stacked up the Red Sea or the River Jordan. The NIV talks about him gathering the waters in jars, like water bottles. Either way, the main point is the same. For all the untamed power of the seas and the oceans, God is sovereign over them. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with the story in the Gospels. It's in Mark 4, where Jesus falls asleep in a boat that was being crewed by his disciples. A violent storm blows up on the lake, and the disciples waken him and they have a question for him. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" What were they thinking? I wonder what they thought he could do. Did they think he could stop the storm? Or were they just upset that he seemed so indifferent to their impending doom? Jesus got up, spoke to the storm, told it to be quiet. And in no time, it was completely calm. And then he asked his disciples about their fear and their faith. Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? It must have been some storm if experienced fishermen thought they were going under. You'd imagine that fear was probably a natural reaction. But they had underestimated Jesus' care, and they really had very little idea about Jesus' power. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. I wonder if any of them ever reflected back on their experience and thought of Psalm 33. God is sovereign over the waters of the sea. And so the earth should fear him. Verse 8. God's word is powerful. He spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. Verse 9. But the second thing is in verse 10 and verse 11, the psalmist tells us that the Lord is sovereign over the nations. It's not just that he spoke in the past and brought the heavens into existence. He's still at work. And just as he's sovereign over the untamed waters of the sea, so he's sovereign over the nations. He foils their plans and he thwarts their purposes. You see that in verse 10. But in contrast, in verse 11, his plans stand firm forever. The purposes of his heart stand firm through all generations. Think for a moment about Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. He was the head of a superpower. And in his own words, he was contented and prosperous until God cut him down to size and humiliated him. He lost his mind. Until the day he honoured God. And here is what he said. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth. A lot of plans have gone by the board in the past few months. In the grand scheme of things, some of them may not have been too significant. Maybe some people missed a weekend city break during the May bank holiday, or some had to delay their visits to their caravans on the North Coast. But if you could take yourself back to the start of 2020, no one could have imagined the extent of disruption and uncertainty that would sweep all across the world. And the church hasn't been exempt. Who would have thought that prayer meetings would be happening on Zoom? Or that summer camps would be cancelled? That there would be no big tent conventions in 2020? Most of us have lived our entire lives up to this point at a period of world history that has been relatively stable. I say relatively because many of us remember the troubles here in Northern Ireland. And of course, there are parts of the world that have known very little stability for quite some time. But we've also lived through several decades of incredible progress in so many aspects of life. You think about medical science, the ability to travel, technology that allows us to communicate with people almost anywhere in the world. We've known progress and stability. Now, we all need and rely on a certain amount of predictability for life to function. You need to know that the 11 o'clock train will leave at 11 o'clock, and you need to know that water will come out of the tap when you turn the tap. But now there's this. A virus that has stretched experts to their limit. Why do we have a global pandemic? Is it simply part of living in a fallen, broken world? Is it a plague like one of the biblical plagues? Why has God not stopped it? There's some very big questions, and I'm not going to try to answer them, but I will say something. However we may try to answer these questions, we need to have a dose of humility about our ability as men and women to be in control of our own destinies. Some of you remember how people used to add DV to their plans. It's an abbreviation of the Latin for God willing. Maybe some of us think it sounds a little bit quaint. Maybe it seems like a spiritual equivalent of weather permitting. Our next barbecue will be on Saturday in Ward Park, DV and weather permitting. Now the idea really came from the letter of James. There were businessmen who had reached a place of great confidence in their ability to grow and progress their business whenever they wanted. And so they would say, today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. And James told them they didn't even know what would happen the next day. They were like a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And however we respond to this pandemic, I think one of the things that needs to come from it is a sense of humility. God is God and we are not. And as the psalm says, he is sovereign over the nations. And the third thing that the psalmist talks about in verse 12 to 19 comes from this, moves on from this. The Lord is the strength of his people. Every person owes their existence to God, and he sees all that we do, verse 13 to verse 15. Yet the psalm talks about a specific people that God chose as his inheritance. In the Old Testament, it was the nation of Israel. Today, God's calling a people from every tribe and every nation. But he has his people, and he's looking for those who will fear him and put their hope in him, verse 18. He watches out for them to protect them in times of trouble and famine. His love is even stronger than famine. That's what Paul says in Romans 8. Even famine cannot separate us from God's love that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul's telling us that God's love for us has been demonstrated through Jesus, and it is fixed regardless of our circumstances. But notice the contrast between the people whose confidence is in the Lord and those whose confidence is basically in their own strength and resources, in verse 16 and verse 17. There are kings who tend to trust the size of their army, warriors who trust their strength, horses with great strength. But at the end of the day, the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him and who put their hope in his unfailing love. Where have we looked for help during this time? Medical treatments? Clever policymakers? Brilliant research scientists? I'd say may the Lord inspire all of them. I'm grateful for medical science. I may not even be here talking to you were it not for the advances that have been made in cardiac medicine and surgery over the past several decades. And I'm certainly not going to say that we abandon hand hygiene because God's going to look after us. But I wonder what it means to put our hope in God's unfailing love. You see, with all of our progress and all of our success and our cleverness and our achievements, it's very easy to nudge God out of the picture. I remember going through a ministry crisis a number of years ago, and the verse that God gave me was something that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. He wrote about how he'd been under such incredible pressure that he'd even despaired of life. And then he said this, "But this happened, that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. The Lord is the strength of his people." And with all of that in mind, the word of the Lord is true and powerful. The Lord is sovereign over the nations. And the Lord is the strength of his people. The psalmist concludes with a statement of trust and a prayer. And that's how we leave it this morning. Verse 20. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. May God bless his word. Amen.
Our God is a consuming fire, burning holy flame with glory and freedom. Our God is the only righteous judge, ruling over us with kindness and wisdom. We will keep our eyes on you. We will keep our mighty fortress is our God, a sacred refuge is your name. Your kingdom is unshakable, with you forever we will reign. Our God is jealous for his own, none could comprehend his love and his mercy. Our God is exalted on the throne, high above the heavens, forever he's worthy. We will keep our eyes on you. We will keep our eyes. Is your name. Your kingdom is unshakable, with you forever we will reign.
keep our eyes on you. We will keep our eyes on you, so we can set our hearts on you. We will set our hearts on you. A mighty fortress is our God. A sacred refuge is your name. Your kingdom is unshakable.
Thank you all for joining with us this morning, and thanks to Alan Wilson for bringing God's word to us. If you are a regular Hamner, we do invite you to join with us on Wednesday night as we pray together at 8 p.m. on Zoom. Let's just close our broadcast in prayer. Father God, we thank you that your word is indeed true and powerful, and we pray that as we've been learning that today, that that would resonate with us in the weeks ahead. Father, thank you that you are strong and you indeed are our strength in these days when many of us feel weak, and whenever many of us feel that we need some source of help, Father, thank you that we can find our strength and our help in you. Father, would you help us to lift our eyes to the hills in this coming weekend to know that our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven. And there. So, Father, would you keep us and bless us in the week ahead, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And thanks for joining us. Have a good day.